I like the multifamily better than other real estate vehicles because there is a passive component of it. You can come in as a passive investor, but at the same time, you're not doing everything yourself as a Superman. Your role is divvied up and you can save time from that way.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. I am Javier Hinojo, your host of the Naked Truth about Real Estate Investing. And today I have Yosef Lee from, he's in New York. He's an attorney. He has about 6-7 projects under his belt, a little bit over north of 500 units. He closed his first deal in December of 2020, which is, 10 months ago. So you've had a great run here in 2021, for sure. I can tell you that. And I see him everywhere on social media. He has some meetups on Zoom, does some virtual meetups. He has a cool content on Facebook, YouTube, and follow him on Instagram. Actually, I just clicked, I just followed you on Instagram.
Thank you, by the way,
Yosef, your bro, Sef.
Hey.
Yosef, your bro, Sef.
Yes, right. I'm your bro, Sef.
Yep, there you go. You got yourself another follower.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk a little bit about kind of your story, how you scale so quickly. You're still working as an attorney. We're going to talk about your biggest mistake. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Javier, for the invitation. I'm very excited to be here. So briefly speaking, a South Korean immigrant. I'm a lawyer, busy W-2, father of two kids, just aspiring to take back the control of my time by being financially free through multifamily apartment investing. You know, my job is very demanding, time demanding. At one point, I realized and concluded that unless I create some sort of passive income streams, I'll be continuously doing this, just chasing the paying the bills. And then I'll live okay life, but it's not the lifestyle that I want to pursue with the families, time freedom. That's where I want to go. So I started looking into some vehicles and I landed on multifamily because all the benefits that multifamily yield, it was just tremendously, attractive. So, yep, I started self-education throughout early or mid-2019 and just educating myself through podcasts and YouTubes. Soon realized I wasn't really not taking any actions. So I took next actions by joining a mastermind and mentorship group in early 2020 with the goal of closing my first big multifamily deal in 2020. Back then, my goal was over 10 units. I thought that was huge. And by December 2020, my first deal happened, was 44 unit in Kansas City, in Lawrence, Kansas, as a JV structure. And so I way surpassed my goal of closing 10 plus units by that. And ever since, the law first deal that opened my opportunity for the second deal and third and fourth and fifth, around March, my mentor offered me a position in his real estate company. And ever since with him, I closed, I became a GP of 4-5 more deals. So that put me on a little north of 500 as you introduced me previously. So, and here I am, and I'm gladly here to talk about my experience.
Awesome. So I want to hit a couple of items there that you hit. All right. So you're an attorney. How long did you go to school for?
I spent, 3 years in general, yes. But that's for just graduate school, law school, and college,
So total, 7 years total?
I spent an extra, I think, semester, a year in college because I was transferring here and there. So 5 years and 3 years, 8 years.
So let's say 8 years, right? You did 8 years of college, become an attorney, right? So you know, you're committed, you work hard. Obviously, you're a super sharp guy, super smart, okay?
Thank you. I don't know if that's true.
You said, hey, in 2019, I was self-educating myself, right? Podcast, YouTube, and yes, bigger pockets, all that. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'll post a link in the show notes talking about your first deal and kind of your journey. You give me the link on Bigger Pockets. I'll make sure that's in there. But yeah, kind of something that hit me right now. You said, hey, you were self-educating, podcast, YouTube, all this stuff is great. There's so much information out there, a lot of free information. But you noticed you weren't taking any action, not until you got some mentorship and you joined a mastermind. So kind of talk to me about that, because you don't seem the kind of guy that needs motivation, right? I mean, you're already pretty driven, mm-hmm. right?
And yeah, I'm very self-driven.
Yeah. So where did you see that? Like, okay, I'm not taking action. Like, I need to really step it in. Like, and I joined a mastermind. And then once you did that, it just took off.
It just took off. So yes, education was education. You know, there are a lot of stuff out there and you just need to consume it. And it's not a rocket science, right? We'll know that it's doable. However, the hurdle I had was the networking side. I mean, I was networking a lot of people through the websites, biggerpockets.com. I met great people. We all say, hey, let's partner up someday. Good. Hey, nice meeting you. But I think there has been a trust issues when it comes to partnership. It's a different level of trust. We're not just making friends. So that was the hurdle I had. And also, I mean, even if I was very self-driven, I thought I was taking an action by reading and watching the YouTube, but there was no accountability, right? I could kind of, sometimes I could slack off and sometimes I don't really watch it as I'm supposed to. So there was an accountability portion that I was missing and networking portion I was missing. So I spoke to a couple of people before joining the mastermind. And all their 80% of them told me not to join because you can still get the free education. Whatever you're going to learn, you're going to be able to learn from YouTube and podcasts, et cetera. Why don't you use that money saved up to make a down payment and actually, you know, go into actually doing hands-on property investing? And the other 20% told me, Yosef, you're going to be meeting amazing people and you're going to be scaling up really quick or rather quickly. So I thought about pros and cons and all that, but I decided to join mainly because, first of all, by this time, I had already decided to go big multi. So saving 20 grand, 30 grand here and there, it wouldn't really make any difference in terms of down payment to buy some property, right? And secondly, all the people who are making things happen are from this 20% of people, right? So I just took that advice. And I think it was a critical moment that everything was changed. I started real education. I was educating myself, but there was no order. It was like, as I see fit. But as I joined the mentorship group, there were some like a curriculum where you can follow step by step for property education. So that was a big thing. Secondly, the network that came with the mentorship group was phenomenal. Like the support, and that the partnership opportunities are way different. I was able to start with some sort of trust already because I could tell these people are serious who made a serious financial commitment to become better version of themselves. So that I was able to get over that hurdle that I had before because I was in the same group with them. But there was some sort of mindset shifting from A to B.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I think I always preach that all the time, guys. You know, it's always go join a mastermind if you can, because you're going to scale so much quicker. Just like what you said, 80-20 rule, right?
Definitely.
The 20% advice, and people that are in those rooms are really taking action, right? And they open doors for you and you come in and you say, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And then the sky's, you know, it really is the limit because it really accelerates your growth. And it's very impressive, you know, what you've done in such a short time, as busy as you are. You know, as busy as you were. I remember when you booked the podcast, you're like, man, I'm like 2 months out. Like, hey, that's cool. I'm cool with that. That's fine because you're busy. <That's>, yes, hey, no problem. Yes. We'll eventually get to you. So, which is great. So what would you say, you know, to somebody like in your position, right? There's a lot of business, a lot of busy professionals out there, right? Engineers, doctors, people that work in IT, lawyers. Like you said, I realized that you're going to work so many hours and you didn't want to be stuck there, right? So
yes.
What kind of advice do you have for them?
Well, first of all, to look into the vehicle, real estate investing, whether it's flipping, single family, short-term rental, or multifamily, you got to be able to find the niche that you want in your life. I'm not a big fan of, I don't say multifamily only is the way to go, right? I mean, I have my colleague who's making killing and very lucrative business in short-term rental. It's just the way that people structure that based on their own experience and situation. In my case, my day job is very time demanding, so I can't really get my hands on to short-term rental or more active as opposed to multifamily where we could work as a team and we kind of divvied up the roles. And even at nights and weekends, I can work on my roles and make sure it's taken care of. That's why I like the multifamily better than other real estate vehicles, because there is a passive component of it. You can come in as a passive investor, but at the same time, you're not doing everything yourself as a Superman. Your role is divvied up and you can save the time from that way.
For sure. Yeah. And so let's talk about that. You say it's a team effort, right? So every investor, every person has their own like personality, and I call it their investor personality. Like how much time, how much energy, how much money, you know, all that can you put into your investment? So you say like your friend has can do short-term rentals. Well, I'm sure he doesn't work full-time as an attorney somewhere, right? I'm just guessing. He probably doesn't.
No.
okay. Yeah. So, you know, his personality or his investor personality is different, right? Because he's got more time, you know, to do that. But big deals like these, like multifamily, you're buying, you know, $10 million deals and above, or just bigger multifamily, it does take a team. So what is your role right now as far as what you're doing in when you become a general partner?
Okay. So my biggest value that I can add to the team was basically from legal training, or even if I'm not a real estate attorney, all the legal things I can help to review before bringing it to our attorney and spot issues. Like, for example, I can review PPM, I can review operating agreements, just simplify that for the rest of the team members so that they can easily understand. If they want to pinpoint something to the attorneys, they just pinpoint that to me easily and I'll bring it to the attorneys. For example, for a 68 unit deal that we closed in March this year, I was the point person among the lender's attorney, seller's attorney, our SEC attorney. So we had four attorneys working for this project, and I was in between delivering the messages to each other, right? So that was a good deal. 70-something page of PPM, I reviewed it. I distilled it down to maybe a couple of points for our team members so that they could easily understand that. I could draft simple legal documents before going to an attorney and just use it. Communication and talking to the lenders, talking to the contractors, I could do that negotiation as part of my job. So basically anything and everything about legals and towards a business, that's what I can help and value. And I mainly talk to the lenders now for the deals that I'm part of and distributions, et cetera. Capital raising is another part that I can add value from New York attorney. I have a couple of doctor and lawyer friends where, you know, they saw how the deals are being closed and they wanted to put some money in. I'm still learning because I just started, but that's where the value that I see it could attribute or contribute.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the things you talked about is reading those PPMs, right? Every time I got to read one, I'm like, oh my gosh, 70 pages, 80 pages, 100 pages. What makes it really easy for me is just drink a bottle of wine. Just drink one whole bottle.
There you go.
Had before. It's the best read you'll ever have. No. yeah, but for sure, because sometimes the attorneys will just copy and paste on a lot of their PPMs. I'm not saying that you do, but they do. Like
I do. They do. I do sometimes.
and I got to go in there. I'm like, we're not buying a property, you know, in North Dakota, right? We're buying a property in South Carolina. Like that's the wrong address. Like just little things like that. Like, oh, they didn't change this out. And somebody does have to review it. I usually review the PPM, but I'm not the final say. I just read it just to kind of review it. That goes to our CEO. It says his job, but I always find a couple of little typos as far as reading the PPM. But it's very important, right, to be part of a team, just because you can definitely scale. Yes. And maybe you don't get the whole 100% of the project, right? But you're getting bits and pieces of a lot of different properties and projects, so you're well diversified. You know?
Right. And also the reason why it's got to be a team play is most of the time we have beginners, right? They have a beginner mentality where, I mean, a lot of them from single family or duplex or where they could do everything themselves, right? So if you just come to this multifamily game with that mindset, it's not going to work because now you don't have any credibility to start with. The lenders and the brokers, they would not give you that credibility and they may think you're not able to handle this. Right. For example, let's say you might have a good relationship with your broker who found you 50 unit apartment, cash flowing, great property. Now lender looks at it. Lender wants to lend you money. They're dying to give you money. They're going to ask you basically, hey, Javier, I'd love to lend you money. We love the deal. Tell me who in your team has an experience of managing a size of this deal. Like if you're alone and if you're with buddies who are from a single family flipping background and you just two, you can't really take that deal because they're not comfortable lending you money because you don't have that experience. You got to have somebody who had a prior experience in a team, somebody who has high net worth, right, to cover the loan amount with probably 10% liquidity. Somebody you can say, unless you're from the local boots on the ground, you got to have somebody in the boots on the ground partner in that local market so they can say, oh, you know, we have a boots on the ground partner there. He's going to check out all the due diligence inspection period and et cetera, et cetera. got to have property management company lined up. So all this thing, that's why it's got to be a team play. You have a team placed already before you look serious, right?
Yep.
And that's why I think having a great team is important.
Yeah, and this is also great points that you're making here, because if you're new and you want to get started or you want to be part of a project, I always tell everybody, right, just find some good operators and find some partners, bring some kind of value to them, and join that one purchase, right? So you can kind of get your experience, because you might not enjoy it, or you might say, I love this, right? So and then you can kind of go out and do that a couple of times, and then eventually you want to do it on your own. You have enough experience, right? Enough.
Exactly.
Your net worth is good, and then you can start maybe signing some loans, or you can start doing some more.
Exactly.
You can branch out from there. Yeah. But it's awesome being a team player, because you can always come in, right? I would say, like, if you play basketball, and you have 5-on-5, you have 4 really good players, and you come in as a rookie, and the other guys are really great, you're probably going to be a good team, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to get carried by the other guys. You're going to learn.
Right. And another point is that, I mean, you might be great as a manager, but unless you have multifamily asset under your belt to show that you could be great as a manager, how are you going to say you're great as a manager, right? So there only so much value that you could bring in as a newbie, but it might shift when you become more credible. So in the beginning, you might not be able to tell them you could be a great as a manager. Unless you're in the market, you can't be boots on the ground. So there are only a handful of value that you can add. So you got to sit down and realize what value you can bring into the table for the experienced operators that you just mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. You can be like, hey, you have some deep pockets, you can say, hey guys, I'll put up the escrow deposit, right? It can be 100,000, it can be 300,000.
Right.
Now, if you don't have that much money, you can say, hey, maybe they're buying something in, you know, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. Somebody's buying something in Raleigh, North Carolina. I can say, hey, I'm new, I don't have a lot of experience, but I'll be your boots in the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's the way to start.
Right.
Or you can, you know, they can, you know, participate, maybe put some like risk capital as well, right? There's a lot of different ways you kind of get involved, or bring a project. Like, maybe I got a good connection with a broker and I bring a project to you guys and I'm brand new.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Hand it over to them and just tell them, give me an opportunity to be a GP and so that I can learn. Right.
Exactly. So it's not impossible, right? People think, hey, I need to have millions of dollars in the bank. I need to save all kinds of money. And you really don't, you really don't. You can just start networking with people you want to be like right away. Yeah. You know, go, like I would say, hey, go, everybody listening, go on Yosef's Zoom meetings. You learn a lot. Like I watched a YouTube video maybe a month ago or so, maybe a little bit longer than that, where you talked about how to split the general partners, but just in general, right? Like what you get, you know, for bringing the risk capital, for giving the earnest deposit, you know, for all this other stuff, like signing the loan, kind of broke it all down. It was really, really cool. So you have some cool stuff out there for free, which is awesome.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to ask you, we're almost done because I already know what you charge. I know what you charge per hour, and we're almost 30 minutes. So I don't want to get a big deal. but I'm going to ask you, this is a naked truth. So I want to ask you, what has been your biggest mistake in multifamily? What's been your biggest mistake you made?
Okay. I think so far I've been very fortunate, but there were some moment that I thought I would have been more careful or been more thoughtful was in the beginning. This happened around June of 2020. There was a deal that that came through one of my partners, and we really liked the deal. And we wanted to put in our letter of intent, and the seller said, let's just skip it. Let's just prepare the contract. So we hired an attorney. We prepared a contract. We sent it to them. But he ended up using that contract to show that there's another serious buyer, and raised the purchase price and connected with another buyer. And then they probably closed it later. We didn't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, back then we could have been more careful about his intent, but I think since we just started and there's a hope and there is a possibility of closing our first deal within a couple of months. So I was really excited. I was so pumped up and didn't really look deep into what his true intent could be. So I think that was the mistake.
It could have happened.
Careful.
Some sellers are that way, but, you know, if it wasn't meant to be, you know, at least you guys were, you know, you got some experience out of that. So not too bad. It's not too bad so far, right? For a year and a half. So hopefully next time we speak, that'll be the worst one.
Yes. Yes.
That'll be the worst one. All right. So I am to the best part of the show, which I am going to do. I'm going to ask you 3 random questions. This is the naked truth roulette. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask you 3 random questions. It's got nothing to do with real estate, but we got to make sure that everybody knows that Yosef is not a robot. He's a real person. So here we go. I did not send you a waiver for this, so you have to just trust me.
Okay.
I didn't send a waiver for you to sign. So here's a Naked Truth Roulette. Three questions.
Just
random questions for you.
This is cool.
Yeah. So let's go here. Let's see. Let's get to know you a little bit better. So here we go. Question number one.
Is this truly random?
Yeah, totally random.
Ah, interesting.
All right, what do we got?
I like it.
All right. Have you ever cried at a movie?
Oh, all the time.
Do you know which is the last movie you cried at?
Last movie I cried at, I think it was, it's a Korean movie. Literal translation will be A Train Towards Busan Station. I don't know. I'm just making it up, but it was about, it's kind of funny. It's a zombie story where, but the father becomes a zombie and he tried to save his daughter. Okay. And I was watching it with my daughter and, you know, that was the moment that I really had that sentiment and I kind of cried on that.
Okay. Well, yeah, it happens, right? Because every time I see my daughter 17 today, actually her 17th birthday today.
Wow.
Every time I see a movie where like the dad is giving the daughter away, the wedding, like I cry. Like my wife looks at me, and my eyes are all watery. Anyways, it could be anything. It could be a commercial. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hey, you do say you're Korean. So Squid Game is in Korean, by the way. I'm sure you probably know that.
Yes. And actually, that actor from the movie that I just talked about is one of the actors that was on Squid Game in the beginning. Cool. The guy who, did you watch that? Squid Game? The guy who offers a game to the main character at the station.
Yeah, and the suit. They're wearing the suit.
Yeah, with the
car, he's the red and blue car. Whatever.
Right. He's the main guy in that movie that I watched with my daughter.
Super cool. Awesome. All right, here we go. The second question for you, and it's totally random, and the question won't be repeated. So let's roll. Let's see what we got here. Okay, this is a good one. All right.
Orange.
If you had to meet somebody in an elevator, and you could do one of these two things, is either do your hair or brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have a meeting in an elevator.
In the elevator, I'll do brush my hair.
You brush your hair?
Okay. Yes. I have.
You're not wearing a mask, all right? You're not wearing a mask.
I am not. Yeah, so I have something on the hair, so... I gotta make it.
Yeah, I see the hair. I see the hair. So
yeah,
it doesn't surprise me. That's what you picked. So, all right, awesome. Third question for you. All right, let's see. Oh man. Oh, I hope he goes to the blue because it's been a while. Nope, missed it. All right. Is there such a thing as no stupid questions? What do you think?
Is there such a thing as a no stupid question? Nah, I don't think so. Well, there are some questions that I think it's stupid because it's not appropriate in certain situation.
Okay.
For example, I had in the beginning of networking, I kind of sometimes asked people about their kids without knowing they're married or they have kids, right? I just assumed based on their ages. And that was kind of stupid questions I asked, and I was not supposed to. And I learned I was not supposed to, unless I know them, bring up about their family or kids or marriage, something like that.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah. That's an honest question to that question. So that's an honest answer for that question. All right. So congratulations. You say you survived the Naked Truth Roulette.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. So that's super cool. Anything else you'd like to share before we end the interview?
Thank you very much again for the invitation. I love what you do. I follow you, your passion and you're skilled and you're quickly, you know, just expanding your real estate business. So I learn a lot from you and see what you do. And I even saw your TikTok dance.
Terrible, I know.
great. But, and another point, I love to talk about real estate, multifamily, and share how I started. I get a lot of questions from that. So anytime, if you guys reach me, I'm very approachable and I love to talk about real estate.
Yeah. And I'll have all your contact information on the show notes, your Instagram, your Facebook, your YouTube channel, everything that you have linked to the Bigger Pocket. So I appreciate Joseph for being on the show. Thank you so much, everybody. I am Javier Hinojo. Don't lose your shirt. Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback. Not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel, or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks for everybody. It's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's really cool. Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.